Okay, so just let's finish off this sugya that we were in the middle of last time, and that was the sugya of machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish of Isha Mishum Chitzav. We said that according to Rav Yochanan said that the status of Eish in Halacha is that Eish has a status of Chitzav, his arrows, meaning to say it's like your own, it's like you're shooting something, it's like you're throwing something, it's your own energy, it's like you, it's like Adam HaMazik, you're physically interacting with the target. Mashenkin Reish Lakish says no. When we're dealing with Eish in Halacha, it's like your property doing something. It's not like you physically engaging with the target. And we asked a number of kashas on Reish Lakish. We had essentially four questions that we asked from the Mishnah and Chaf Aleph and Beis, from the Mishnah at the end of Hakones. We had from the sugya that we have later on also about the Gedidat Kavasel, which we discussed in Hakones. We also had another Mishnah from Hakones of Hashalechas of Be'era. Then finally, Rava said, I have a pasuk and a brisa that support the opinion of Rav Yochanan. Now Rava turns around and Rava says at the top of Chav Gimel and Aleph, or two lines down, Rava says, Amar Rava, Kashalei Labai. Abai had the following question. If you hold like Rav Yochanan, who says that fire, the responsibility that a person has for damages done by his fire, or fire in halach in general, is a function of your arrows, it's like you're throwing something. So now the question is, tamun ve'esh, when we have the case of tamun, remember the case of tamun is where, let's say, Shimon has a great big pile of grain. So one case that we discuss is, let's say he has a great big pile of grain, and your fire burns down that pile of grain. But another case of Shimon's pile of grain is that, let's say, embedded within that pile of grain are kelim. Shimon stores things underneath that great big pile of grain. So now what happens if your fire goes and burns down that pile of grain, and along with the pile of grain is all of his kelim are burned as well. So the halacha is that there's a big distinction here. When we're dealing with things that are out in the open that are burned, that's one halacha, you'd actually be liable to pay for those things. But when we're dealing with things that are tamed, that are concealed within that pile of grain, you're going to be pater for those things. So now the question is as follows: if you learn like Rabbi Yochanan, who says that Eish, your fire is like your arrows, it's like your Adam HaMazik, like you're physically engaging with the target. Taman be'esh de patrachmana, the case of taman be'esh, where things that are concealed in a pile of grain that fire burns down, that we know that the Torah exempts you from liability in such a case. How do we have that? How do we find such a case? Meaning to say, if you treat Eish like a person physically, let's say, shooting arrows at the target, and it damages those kelim that are embedded within the pile of grain, why wouldn't you be liable? We know that when you're a whenever dealing with Adam HaMazik, we know from the pasuk of Petzetachas Patzah, that you're going to be liable for Shogeg, Mezid, Onis, and Ratzon. It doesn't really make a difference. So you're being unaware of those kelim embedded within the pile of grain is irrelevant. You should always be liable if it's considered like you're physically, actively engaging with a target. So, Vinichale, so the way that Abaye answered this question was as follows. Kigon Shenaflo D'Leikla Osachach. I'll tell you how it happened. For example, let's say a fire literally would mean that fire fell into that chatzar, meaning to say, let's say Reuven has a fire going in his backyard, so he's got a barbecue going. And then suddenly the fence around Reuven's backyard collapses, and it collapses not as a result of the fire, just stamazai falls down. The holcha, and some take out the next word, vihidlika, and so the fire then goes, vihizika b'chatzacheres, and damages in another field, another courtyard. In other words, now the fence around around Reuven's backyard collapses, the fire starts traveling and goes into Shimon's backyard, and then it damages in Shimon's backyard, and it burns down, let's say, a pile of grain, or a pile of grain with kelim inside of it. So in that case, dahasim kalulo chitzav, because then in that case, his arrows have diminished, have finished, have terminated. Meaning to say, right, the way that we normally relate to Eish as the arrows of the person who ignited it is that because when he ignites it, it has the potential to cause certain damage. But at the moment that Reuven lit up this barbecue, it didn't have the potential to cause the damage that it ultimately caused, right? Because suddenly the fence around his field collapsed after he lit that fire. So therefore, once the fence collapses, now the fire travels and goes into Shimon's backyard. We view that as the fire being disconnected from the original lighting, the kindling of that fire that Reuven did. So we say it's kalu luchitzav, his arrow has terminated. It's no longer attributed to Reuven as his energy, as his physically engaging with the target. And so if that's the case, then I can understand that if I'm dealing with the case of Tamid Ve'esh, if the fire then goes and travels into Shimon's backyard after the fence topples down, and the fire burns down Shimon's pile of grain, and in that pile of grain are kalim, you're going to be putter. Why would it be putter? Because it's no longer considered like your energy, like you shooting arrows at the kalim. And so that's why you're going to be putter. But the problem over here is what wood is going to eat hafi, if that's correct. So then you should say the same thing, that if we're dealing with things that are exposed as well, right, then the contrast case would also be in a similar scenario. The contrast case to Tamon would also be where Reuven lights up a barbecue, then the fence topples down. After the fence topples down, the fire travels into the nearby field, into Shimon's backyard, and burns something down, burns down whatever it is that's out in the open. But if that's the case, then the fire shouldn't be attributed to Reuven in that case either. And if that's the case, then Reuven shouldn't be liable, even if whatever it is out in the open, is exposed. So why should there be any distinction between Tamon and Galoy? And between Tamon, where the kelim are embedded, are concealed within the pile of grain, versus when they are exposed. And we know that they are. We know that there is a big distinction between when the fire burns down something that are out in the open versus something that is concealed. And so the Gemara therefore says, Ella, so therefore what must we have to conclude here? Leman de Islay Mishum Chitzav, if you hold, like Rav Yochanan, according to Rav Yochanan, who holds of the concept of that Eish is like your own arrows, so Islay Nami Mishum Amon, it must be that he also holds that fire operates as your property. In other words, you're going to be liable for damages that are done by your fire on two accounts. Number one, because it's like you physically engaging with the target, it's your energy, it's Adam HaMazik. Number two is that your fire is also your property. And so, the same with you're liable for damages that are done by your property, by your ox, let's say, you'd be liable for damages that are done by fire. So, and therefore, now how are we going to clean up the case of Tamid Ve'esh? So now we're going to say, Ukagon Shahayalo Lagodra Velogadara, for example, where you had an opportunity to fence it up, to put the fence back up before the fire got a chance to go into Shimon's backyard, Velogadara, and you didn't do that. And so if that's the case, that you had an opportunity to fence it back up, well, now you're right. When you lit the barbecue and your fence was up around your backyard, so Reuven is going to be If Reuven disconnects the H as being a function of his arrows, right? If the fence then topples down, so now the H is no longer considered to be his arrows. But because he had the opportunity to put the fence back up, we view that, well, now that I consider the H to be his property, like an ox of his, well, if you have an opportunity to fence in your ox and you don't, and then the ox goes out and does damage, well, you're going to be liable. Not because it's like your arrows, but because it's like any other property damage. You're going to be liable for the damage that's done by your ox when you had business putting things in place to prevent it from damaging. So, for example, where you had the opportunity, you were supposed to fence it up, and you didn't. The chasam, because there, shoruhu, that's tantamount to your ox, and therefore, if that's really no different than your ox, the fire is no different than your ox, if that's the same thing as it being your ox, where you don't literally tafach is like it slapped or smacked in ba'apei in its face, meaning to say, where you should have closed the gate in front of the ox to fence it in, and you didn't. And we know this is actually a Mishnah that's discussed, the opening Mishnah in Akonis, is that when you bring your ox into a corral. Right, the Mishnah over there discusses, well, let's say you close it and then the animal somehow gets out, right? The end of the fifth, or at the end of the fourth parak, also when you do a Shmir Pechusa. And so you have business fencing in your ox. And if you don't fence in your ox when you have the opportunity to, then you're going to be liable for the damages that it does. And so, therefore, when we're dealing with Tamid Ve'esh, so now we can understand the way that we view the fire in the case of Tamid Ve'esh is that it's really You're right. It's no longer your energy because the cases where you lit up a barbecue and the fence topples down and then it travels into your neighbor's backyard and burns down the pile of grain. So why are you liable in that case? You're liable when it's your ox's doing, when it's your ox damaging, because we view the fire as your ox. Okay. So now, wait a second then. What that means then is that Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish really hold that Eish, you're going to be responsible for Eish because it's your property. Well, mishum, well, now that you're telling me that whoever holds of it being your arrows also holds that it's a function of your property, you're liable for Eish on two accounts. Number one, because it's your arrows, and number two, because it's your property. Mabinow, what's going to be the difference between Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish? So the Gemara says, the nafkamina between Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish is going to be with respect to holding you liable for four things. What four things are we talking about? So we know that there's, and we'll discuss this, there's a major distinction between when Reuven physically damages Shimon versus when Reuven's property damages Shimon. We know that when the Mishnah tells us in Achovel that if Reuven injures Shimon, there are five possible things that he's going to be liable to pay. Right? We say it's Nezek, Tzar, Sheves, Ripa, and Boshes, that he's going to have to pay because he physically injured Shimon. He's going to have to pay for the pain that he caused Shimon to experience. He's going to have to pay for the doctor bills. He's going to have to pay because Shimon now has to take off from work. He's going to have to pay if he embarrassed Shimon. All those things are relevant if Reuven physically, actively hurts Shimon. But if Reuven's property damages Shimon, then you're not liable for all five of those things anymore. Then you're going to be liable at best for nezek, for just injuring him, for the for whatever damage you caused to him, to his body. And so that's going to be the difference between Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish. In other words, it's true. Rav Yochanan agrees to Rish Lakish that Eish is a function of your property in addition to Eish being a function of your physical damage. We're viewing it as you throwing something. But Rish Lakish doesn't agree to Rav Yochanan, right? And so therefore, if let's say somebody's fire burns somebody else, so now the question is, well, how do we view that? Do we view that like it's your ox that damaged somebody else? In which case, if we view that like your ox that damaged somebody else, then you're only going to be liable for nezek. But if it's your fire that's a function of you, that we view it like it's you throwing something at him, and now it's like you physically engaging with him and physically hurting him, so then you're going to be subject potentially to five different things, right? Nezek, tzar, sheves, ripa, and boshes. Now, truth is, though, that if it's your eish that resulted in, if it's your eish that burned, let's say, Reuven's eish burns Shimon, so then you're not really going to be liable for boshes, because for boshes, for humiliating somebody, you actually have to have kavana, you have to intend on humiliating them. And so for fire, that's not really relevant. But for the other things of nezek, tzar, ripa, and sheves, so that boils down to negligence. And so because you're negligent, you should have anticipated that your fire, let's say, would be carried by a normal wind and burn Shimon in some way, so then you're going to be liable for nezek, tzar, ripa, and sheves. But that's only if you view the fire as a function of your physical activity, right? It's like your chitza, but not if you view the fire as your property. So that's going to be the big difference between Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Now, the truth is, if you remember, we had a number of nafkaminas that we discussed before in the Gemara, right? All these cases that we discussed, going from Chav Beis and Naf to Chav Beis and Beis, right? We had a number of kashas. We said, how could Rish Lakish say what he says if the Mishnah and Chav Aleph and the Mishnah at the end of Akonis all sound like Rav Yochanan and not like Rish Lakish? And we basically split hairs to come up with distinctions between them, right? So there are other distinctions that there are to be made between Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish. But either way, we'll keep things simple with this one. We'll just the Gemara presents this one, but fine. So, let's hold here. And Be'ezras Hashem, just because the next sugya kind of segues into the question of Pipar Kechatzar and Nizer Kechatzar Mazik, and Be'ezras Hashem, I guess we'll pick up with that next time.